Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're all very welcome to Friday's Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we're going to go first to Mary Byrne. Mary, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you, darling?
And people will know immediately when they hear your voice that you're that Mary Byrne.
I'm that Mary Byrne.
Mary, it's lovely to hear from you, but and you have you're on a mission.
I'm on a mission. I have a sister who suffers with dementia, and yesterday morning she went missing. We are staying in Wicklow in the British Bay campsite, and during the night she just went missing, and we got up the next morning panicking. Everybody went out in their cars, we searched the park. The worst thing we were thinking was she'd gone down to the sea and God knows what would happen. But while we're all panicking, my niece decided to give her phone a ring just to see was there any sign of her, and she answered the phone and said, "Hello," and we said, "Hello," and she said, "Where are you?" And she said, "I'm in Talla. I'm in my kitchen." Well, I tell you, it was like the inside of all of us just nearly died, because somebody had picked her up in a car and brought her home. She was wearing damp jeans, no shoes, and a house coat.
Okay, so we want to try and track down the Good Samaritan, but go back to the start of this story, Mary, and tell me a bit first about Betty, about your sister. What age is she?
She's 73. She's just gone 73.
And how long is it since she's been diagnosed with dementia?
She was diagnosed last August that she had that dementia. She's a year now, this August coming. But like it was kind of happening for a while before that. We knew something was going on, and her daughters had to kind of look after her and the whole lot. Brought her to the doctor, got her examined, got everything done, and they gave the diagnosis that she had dementia.
And how has she been coping with that news?
She doesn't believe it. She keeps ringing me and ringing our daughters and saying, she rang me the other day there before we came on holidays and said, "They're all telling me I'm gone mad, I'm mad, I'm mad." But like, she doesn't even know. I think sometimes she kind of knows there's something wrong and she'll cry and get very emotional. And then other times she lives in her own little world most of the time.
Like, has there been a big change in her? Do you know, what would she have been like before this?
Oh, Betty was, she had the driest sense of humour you'd ever find. She was always jolly. She was a great mum. She was a great sister. She still is, but like, the person that we know, some of it had gone. I mean, there is still a lot of her there. And we had a great time down here on the holiday. She was back to her old self. She was laughing and joking and... And that's why it was such a shock, because she's never done that like this before.
Okay, so
it's just a shock.
I can just imagine. But just take us back then. So you're in British. Are you in a caravan park down there, or
we're in the homes? You know,
those mobile homes. Yeah, a lot of Dublin people will be very familiar with those mobile home parks in British Bay.
Well, this one has a gate, and you can't get out the gate unless you have a code, and she wouldn't even know the code. So this is what puzzles us.
Right.
I mean, she.
So where was she? Where was she asleep, Mary?
She slept across from me, two beds in the room that we're in, and she was on the bed beside me. I seen her going to sleep that night, and I fell into a deep sleep. We all did, and I got up the next morning about 10:25, went out. My niece was sitting on the sofa looking after her little toddler, and I said, "Where's your mum?" And she said, "She's in bed." And I said, "No, she's not." And that was the first we knew that she was gone.
Can only imagine the
it was horrible.
Yeah, the terror of that situation. So I presume you just went out and started searching around the park.
Yeah, I mean, they all got into their cars and they drove around the park. The kids went on their bikes. I went for a walk around to see could we see her, because we didn't think she'd get out the gate, because the gate has a code on it. But in anyway, to make a long story short, my niece rang her, and she's in the kitchen in Talla. So we asked her how she got there. She first of all told us that a fella pulled up, and he said that she said she knew him, because she's one of these people who would not get into a strange car. She was always that nervous about, you know, getting into different cars that she didn't know. Even when she was all right, she wouldn't go near another car if she didn't know who was in it. And for her to get into this car that she didn't know, she was obviously exhausted, and I'd say that she just seen a relief to get in. And she told the man said, I'll bring you to the police station. She said, no, I want to go home to tell her. She gave him her address. He stopped off somewhere, apparently, and got her tea. And the next thing, my niece realised she turned up at our door at 7:45 yesterday morning.
And what was she, like, what kind of state was she in? What was she wearing at that stage?
At that stage, she'd gone out with no shoes. She had picked a pair of damp jeans that my niece had washed for her. And she put them on her. And she had a house coat, a blue house coat with, I don't know what was on it, like dogs or unicorns.
You mean like a dressing gown, Mary, is it?
A long dressing gown, yeah. That's what she was in.
And this is what she was walking the roads in when this stranger, as we think, came upon her.
But a wonderful man, whoever he was. But she did say to me, this is how funny she can be. I mean, if you knew her prior to this, you would love her because that's the type of person she is. But she did turn around and say to me, Mary, you would have loved him. He was gorgeous. He was 6 foot odd and you would have fell in love with him. Then she told me niece the same thing. She would have fell in love with him. So whoever he was.
So we're looking for a tall man.
Well, now he could have been 2 foot, and you know what the men do, you don't know what that's like. But she did. She said he was a gentleman, and first of all, she said he was a guard. But I think she thought he was a guard because he said he'd bring her to the police station, and she got confused. So I don't know. We don't know who this man is, and we really, really want to find him. I just want to say he doesn't even have to. If you just contact the line, you know, my Facebook, just to say thank you and ask to fill us in on that bit of time that's missing.
Yeah, that is. But you think that he did buy her a cup of tea? This is what Betty told you, yeah?
She said that he got her a cup of tea. So we assumed that he stopped at a garage and went in and got her a cup of tea. She said she had a lovely cup of tea going home and he dropped her right outside her door.
Right. So we're absolutely dying to find out who this man is. If anyone is out there, they can get the message through us, 51551 if you want to text, or call us on 1850 715 815. Tell me, Mary, how did Betty manage during the lockdown? Was that because I know I've spoken to other people who were caring for people with dementia and they found it very tough?
Yeah, she was. But she was worse than anything. I mean, poor niece Elaine, she kind of does the whole. Like, she looks after her all the time. Then we have Brenda and Diana, and they all look, they kind of share a little bit with her. But, yeah, she was on the phone to me crying, and then she'd say, you know, oh, this disease, she didn't know what it was, but this disease, it's going to catch us, it's going to catch us. And she was very, very stressed out about it, definitely. It was a hard time for the family.
Yeah, and so it must have been just such a relief for all of you to be able to get together and go down to Britis.
Yeah, I mean, we always travel. I mean, this side of my family, I've always gone on holidays with them. And because, you know, we've been told to stay at home, we said, right, let's get a lovely little house. Let's go and have a beautiful time. And we were having a great time. She was down on the beach. She was paddling her feet in the water. She was just enjoying herself and laughing for the first time in a long time. She was laughing. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday, she was laughing Wednesday night before she went to bed. It was just incredible to think that the way her mind can just change the way it changed. But she found the keys, she opened the door, and then she locked the door again when she was leaving. That's the part we can't. First of all, we couldn't figure out how she got out. But she had found a spare set of keys, and out the door she went. And where she went after that, I don't know. Where she was picked up, I haven't a clue. But I can only imagine the fear that was in her.
Yeah, and I mean, she's your older sister, Mary, your big sister.
I've only got one sister. I have one sister and three brothers. And myself and my sister are very close. I mean, I love her to bits, you know.
It must be very, very difficult to watch somebody that you're that close to drifting away from you.
Yes, it is. You know, you're like, I see my mother had Alzheimer's as well. So it's a horrible and stressful time for the young girls who are looking after her. And then I'm sitting at home and I've lost my sister. I've lost the person that, you know, always rang me and told me that she loved me and that she was there for me. I've lost that woman and it's very hard. It is very hard.
And do you have any sort of prognosis of the kind of dementia that Betty has? Has she got a long time?
I don't know. My niece didn't know more of that, but she's just... she goes and she comes, she goes and she comes. I still think she's in fairly early stages of it, but it's not going to get any better. And, you know, it's a horrible time for the family.
Let's remind ourselves of better times. What would have been her passions? What would have been Betty's thing?
Oh, she loved singing. She used to love country music. She could sing till the cows come home and wouldn't care where she was, she'd start off the song. Wouldn't go on the stage. Well, if you got her on the stage, she'd be very nervous. But that was her passion. And reading magazines. She loved reading about other people's lives and her kids. She just, our grandchildren and our three daughters, she adored them. And so did, you know, our husband Liam. He adored his children. They were a great family and still are. But they're going through a hard time at the moment. And this gentleman, you know, he took away the pain that they could have had by saving her and bringing her home.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary thing he did to step in like that. And just, as you say, anonymously just left her off and didn't want any thanks for it. But you really, really want to thank her.
You know, I just want to know, I'd like to speak to him and shake his hand if I can, if he'd like. And the girls just want to say thank you for looking after their mother, because, you know, like, no matter what state that she's in, she's their mother. They love her. And they know she loves them. But she's having a horrible time. And that man stopped us from having a horrible situation. And I would love to just say thank you. And, you know, even bring him for a meal or something. Or just to shake his hand. There are good people in this world. And we forget that sometimes.
Again, we'll put the number out there, Mary, 1-855-715-815, or if you just want to text a name and some contact details to 51551, we will certainly pass them on to Mary and your family, Mary. And Mary, how are you yourself?
I'm all right. I mean, as regards to the depression, it's under control so far. I'm just missing me work, something terrible, and I'm waiting for September to start up, because we are starting up a new stage school. Richard Mansworth is starting this up, and we're having our free day on the 29th of July, and hoping to see a lot of people coming in to register between 4 and 7. I know it sounds terrible getting that out, but I just wanted to get that out because it's the only sign of work I have at the moment.
Yeah, and did everything just stop overnight?
Come here, I'll tell you. I remember being doing my gigs and thinking to myself, God, I need a break, need this, need that. I don't ever want to break again. When this business starts up again, I'm going to be out there singing to my heart's content and making sure that I never give it up.
And, you know, I was looking, I couldn't believe that it's been 10 years since you were on X Factor, Mary. It's hard to believe that it seems only the other day that you were, you know, up there in lights and you've had, you know, such a great career since then.
I have, and I tell you, it's been down to a lot of things. The X Factor obviously gave me the platform I needed. And win or lose that show, if you are determined and you're good and you have talent, you can go as far as you want to go. I got what I wanted from it, and I'm really, really happy with it. But I can't believe it's 10 years. And sometimes I look back on the YouTube and I'm going, was that me? Did I actually stand on that stage and sing in front of all those people? It was an incredible time, and it's still going, thank God.
And I hope it still stays going, because we were talking to some other musicians on this show yesterday, Mary, and so much, you know, worry and concern out there that, you know, will live, you know, performance, all of that, is that gone by the road for the foreseeable future?
Oh, it is gone by the road. I think it's gone by the road for the foreseeable future. But I mean, it's not going to go away forever. But we are in a pandemic at the moment, and it's not getting any better because people are just not heeding what's going on, which means that not only other work is going to, you know, be stalled, air work is going to be stalled for a lot longer. We don't even know if Panto's going to go ahead at Christmas in Longford. You know what I mean? It's frightening. It's a frightening time.
But you're getting through it, and you're holding yourself together, and you're keeping going, Mary.
I am, and I have great people around me. I have my manager, Cathy, who constantly tells me that I'm that I'm okay and that everything's going to be grand. And I've got my family who are always on the phone to me, and my daughter. She's an angel in disguise, my daughter. The day I gave birth to her was the best day of my life. She's been looking after me. She's got me losing weight. She's got me feeling healthy. Everything.
Yeah, that was you were on a big health kick, and you were looking forward to surgery on your knee. That was...
Yes, I'm still waiting.
Is that still happening?
I don't know. At the moment, I've got two knees now that need to be done, because the good knee has gone because of always leaning on it and the whole lot. So I've got arthritis in both knees. One is worse than the other. So I haven't even gone back to the hospital to get me check up because they'd cancelled 3 or 4 times because of COVID. You know, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But I still do me walking. I still eat healthily. And I've lost another stone, nearly 2 stone over the lockdown.
So you've gone in the opposite direction to most of us who put on our COVID stones.
That's why I said every home needs a Deborah. My daughter Deborah is just fabulous.
Well, will you
just
send her around to my house, Mary? Because I could do it. I could do it, Deborah, right around now. Listen, let's just, before I let you go, remind people again where this happened. So this Good Samaritan, we think, at some stage on the road between Britis and
Dublin.
And Dublin, basically. But we think somewhere around Britis.
Somewhere around Britis, somebody seen a woman walking with a house coat on her that was blue, no shoes, and he stopped and he picked her up and he got her a cup of tea. She gave him her address and that beautiful person brought her home, and I want to shake his hand.
Okay, well, 1850 715 815, Mary Byrne, thanks very much, and let's hope we find this Good Samaritan.
Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.